Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, the church for truth seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about Christians Community Center of Los Angeles Ministries and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at www.ccla.org. We also want you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
It's good to be alive. You know, we always say it's good to be here, but it's good to be alive. And then it's even better to be here. Amen. To be in the house of Yahweh. David said, my feet almost slipped. My steps was well nigh gone. Huh? When I started looking at the wicked. Hey, but he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Yahweh. He said, there I saw their end. And I felt like a beast. That I had really begin to doubt you. And so today, I'm so glad that I'm in the house of Yahweh. Here I find out who I am and who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. You ask who I am and who he is. Because if I don't know who he is, I don't know who I am. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Amen. So today we are going to just talk to you a few minutes from the word. And I'm going to read a scripture for your listening. 2 Timothy. And we are going to look at the 3rd chapter. And we will start at the 12th verse. Yea, and all they that will live godly in Mashiach Yeshua shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, and that word seducer is the word goes, G-O-E-S, and actually, it has a meaning of howl. And so the idea is those that howl. Other words, it's those that chant. And by their chanting, they cast spells on others. He said these howlers or seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. In their hooking up with these spirits. And as they chant, they're untruths to the people. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Have you noticed that some segments of politicians keep saying the same thing over and over again, and they know it's a lie? All right, now. But what they are doing, they are casting their spells upon unsuspecting people who ultimately will begin to believe a lie. Amen. But while they are deceiving others, they fail to realize that they are being deceived by the true enemy, who is Satan. So he said, these evil seducers will wax worse and worse. But then he has a little advice for the believer. Continue thou in the things which thou have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he says, evil seducers shall get better and better. No, he said evil seducers will wax what? Will do what? Wax, worse, wax. That wax means increase. Will increase worse and worse. So in looking at that, as the Holy Spirit gave it to me, I was meditating when Pastor Tom asked me to bring the message. I don't like to talk except I got something from God. Amen. So I spend my time, if I know I'm going to speak, I spend my time trying to find out what Yahweh wants to say. Amen. And as I was trying to put it together, an idea came to my mind. And I thought, okay, this is the one. This is what I am going to talk about. And when I sat down to really write it, some of it out, the Holy Spirit changed the message. And he brought me to this message. And he said to me that we are living in a time where we need to be sure who we are and what makes us who we are. If you don't know who you are and what has made you who you are, you can't be who you are, even though you are. That makes sense? You are it even though you don't know you are it, and you can't be it because you don't know who you are. So we are living in that time when we need to know who we are and what makes us who we are. And what impact that the world has upon us. And when we say the world, it's cosmos, but in the Greek, but cosmos is talking about in the natural, the orderly arrangement of things. But here, cosmos is talking about that floating mass of ideas and opinions and speculations and pursuits. And pursuit of pleasure and fun and all the things it seems that the world offers. So the world is a solid mass as we stand on it today. But here is talking about the thinking and the desires of the world. And so we need to know what impact that has upon us as believers, and then we are living in a very dark time when murder and mayhem is normal for this day. Mayhem means people who are willingly inflicting bodily injury. And because we are not directly affected, we become desensitized. And so to a great degree, that will be the overall aspect of the message. We become desensitized. Desensitized means that we lose the sensitivity to what is going on. It does not affect us, so we just sort of let it go and have no response to it at all. But hundreds of thousands of people are being killed and murdered around the world today. Iraq, hundreds of thousands. You might say, but they are Muslims. And that don't have anything to do with me. But as a believer, when I see that these hundreds of thousands of people being killed and the effects they have on the families and women and children being killed, my heart cries out. Even though they're Muslim, I say, God, help. Because it's a terrible thing. Syria, hundreds of thousands of people, including women and children, dying each day. Syria, the same thing. Libya, the same thing. Yemen, the same thing. Afghanistan, the same thing. Africa. Boko Haram killed 2,000 people at one time in one village just the other day. I don't know about you, but my heart cries out. You see, if I'm born of God, I have to have a sensitivity to the evil that is going on in the world. And what happened in France? But closer, Mexico. You know, we hear a lot about the 43 students that was massacred there in Mexico. But nearly 8,000 people in Mexico is killed every year by this cartel, by the drug situation. And it might not seem about many, but when you think of it on a five-year period, it's 40 to 50,000 people just next door dying every year. My heart cries out for Mexico. Amen. Your heart should cry out. Then here in the U.S., the killing of unarmed people. And then you ask yourself the question, when will it end? Is there any end in sight? And when you hear the rhetoric, you realize it's hopeless. You hear what I said? You realize it's hopeless. You realize the hundreds of thousands of Muslims in all of these countries that I have named will continually be massacred every year. And sometimes and most times in the name of God. And then as you begin to meditate on this, is this getting too gory for you? But as you begin to meditate on this and you begin to look at it, see, we are people who should be looking for what is coming. And so you ask, is there any indication that things will get better? And there is none. There is none. Because this is what we call the world, their mindsets are already stamped, and they are doing the things that the world does. And I began to meditate on that. And you know something I realized? Is that Yahweh has known this all along. Is that there is no hope for the world. Yes. You know, we have people in the churches who think governments has something to do with God, but there is no hope for the world. There's nothing that can stop the killing, the mayhem, the contamination of this planet that will be devised by the world. But Yahweh knew this all along. And so I want to talk to you about the comfort that we can have in regards to this. And let's start in Yohanan, the 16th chapter. Verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Get happy. Look at your neighbor and say, but neighbor, all this is going on, but get happy. Get happy. I have overcome the world. You know, sometimes you heard me going through all of that, and you get down and you get depressed, but Yeshua said, be happy. I have found an alternative to the world. The world, you can't help the world. But I've overcome the world. Not that I have went on the march with an army to defeat them, but I have found an alternative. I have devised an alternative to the world. And you might say, what is that? 1 Yohanan 5. See, I want you to know that Yahweh knew all about this. 1 Yohanan 5:4. For whosoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. Hallelujah. Whosoever is born into this new alternative has overcome the world. The word of Yahweh says we are in the world, but we are what? Not of the world. So he says, whosoever is born of Yahweh overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now what is he talking about? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He says, in order to be born again, you're going to have to exercise faith. But you don't have to worry that you have to manufacture the faith yourself, because the word of Yahweh says he has given unto every man the measure of faith. But you're going to have to exercise that faith that you might be born again into the new alternative that Yahweh has designed for you. Because in the world, there is no hope. And so the fifth verse says, who is he that overcometh the world? See, the fourth verse is just sort of giving you a little outline. The fifth verse gets to be more direct. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh. So overcoming the world, you have to exercise your faith. You can't expect the world to help you. You can't expect the world to get any better. But Yahweh, through Yeshua, has designed an alternative to the world. And if you exercise your faith, you will be born into that new alternative. You say, but what? I'm still the same person. No. If you're born again, you're not the same person. Huh? You know, we have lived in the church world and we thought we all are the same. We were the same. We the same as we are that we were before we got saved. But I want to tell you, if you're the same as you were, then you are not. Somebody said, I'm hitting hard. No, I'm not. I'm softly killing you. Second Corinthians 5. I won't be long. It won't take long to explain this. It's obvious. Somebody wants to act like they know everything about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah. Therefore, if any man, somebody say woman, be in Mashiach, he or she is a new what? Creature. A new creation. If they be in Yeshua, they are a new what? Behold. Now, old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Look at your name, say neighbor. You're in a new situation. You're in a new situation. Hallelujah. You're not in that same old situation, neighbor. If you're in the same situation, then you're not born into the new alternative. Amen. You're in a new situation. Hallelujah. But if you don't know you're in a new situation, you can't act in a new situation because you don't know you're in a new situation. But we want you to, I'm going to help you to know that you're in a new situation here. You're not the same. And not only that, you're not even located in the same place. And all things are of Yahweh, who has reconciled us to himself. It says by, but I want you to use the word in Yeshua Mashiach, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So let me kind of let you know what he actually said. He said, you are a new catechesis. You are a new creature. You have been created a different person. You have gone through your catechesis. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've gone through my catechesis. Say, neighbor, I'm a new creature. Oh, hallelujah. And all things are of Yahweh, who has reconciled us to himself in Yeshua Mashiach and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You are a different human species. You have been created anew. You are not the same. Stop living like you're the same and acting like you're the same. You need to begin to act and move in the new reality that you have been created into. Hallelujah. And it's not the same. Hallelujah. Because the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And there's no way to stop it. There is no hope for the world. But be of good cheer, Yeshua says. I have overcome. I have overcome the world. Now, we are a different species of human beings. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We used to sing an old song, which was kind of true when I was a young man. And I guess I still am a young man. Hey, if you want to make me feel good, just say amen. Fine. We sang this song. We said, I looked at my hand. And they looked new. I looked at my feet, and they were too. Hey, but you know, we knew we looked at our hand. Our hand was the same. But we were trying to talk about a new reality that had happened to us. My hands didn't reach out to the same thing. My feet did not go to the same places that it used to go. Kepha, too. I'm hurrying because I want to get all this in before the day is over. I might not get a chance to preach for a little while. So I'm going to make good use of the time that I have. You know, I'm in second Kepha, but you need to go to first Kepha. 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You are kings and priests in a different kingdom under different rules. And saying that you are a royal priesthood means you have authority. You are not the same old weak person. The same old I can't help myself. You're a king priest. But you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy what? Nation. This nation is the United States of America. You are situated here physically, but spiritually, you're in another nation. And it's a holy nation. Hallelujah. It's a nation where holiness reigns. Hallelujah. A peculiar people. Now, when I used to read this when I was a young minister, I thought this was a bad word. We are peculiar. You know, when I was a young man, when people say you were peculiar, that means you were odd and there was something wrong with you. Yeah, but this word in the Greek is perepoiesis, which means that you're his own possession. Yahweh has taken you into his what? Own possession. You're not like the world anymore. You don't belong to the world anymore. Yahweh has taken you into his own possession. Don't that sound good? You now belong to him. Now the world might look at you like you are. You're peculiar to them. But you're his own possession. You're in his kingdom. Hallelujah. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. In this world there is no light. Yeshua said, you are the light that has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Whoa. Hallelujah. You're people of light. Hallelujah. In the world you shine bright because people know you don't belong here. You're not part of them. You know, sometimes, even before you're saved, Yahweh put his hand on you. He touches you. I was called to preach when I was a little kid. I was about 8 or 9, 10 years old. And Yahweh reached a Bible out of heaven to me. And it was like a vision. And written on that Bible in gold letters was Holy Bible. And he said to me, go and preach my word. From that experience, my life changed. And even though I ran from it for a number of years, I could be in a bar and we all just cutting up and dancing, and somebody would come up to me and say, you don't belong here. You know, I got bad. What do you mean I don't belong here? I got much right to be anybody else. And then I start dancing faster, drinking more. But it happened over and over again. They knew there was something different about me. And I didn't know what it was, but God knew. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, God's own people, that you should show forth, that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're not here to act like the world no more, because you are not of the world. You're to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Which in time past, we're not a people. Which in time past, we're not a people. You were just a piece of junk floating around in the world. It sounds so bad. Well, you know, I know it does. Doesn't it sound bad? But you were not a what? You were not a people. Just a piece of junk. Well, what I mean by that is that you didn't amount to much. You were going to go to hell. You are going to be destroyed when this world is destroyed. And so that's like a piece of junk. But which in time past, you were not a people. You were just a piece of mass, a piece of flesh floating around in the world. You had no control. You had no control. Oh, you said you had control. You said, I control my own life. No, you did not. No, you did not. Look, I'm the master. I was the master sinner. Now, so you don't tell me that. I thought I had everything under control. But the truth of the matter, I didn't control nothing. Didn't control my own life. The world controlled me. You were not a people. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, which had not obtained mercy. God had not shown his mercy on you. Oh, he had mercy for you, but he had not shown his mercy upon you because you didn't know how to get the mercy. But when you exercise your faith to believe in Yeshua, Yahweh bestowed the mercy. Prior to that, you had no mercy. But now you have obtained mercy. Look, what do you say, unmerited favor? Look, people, there was no good that you could do that would allow you to enter into the kingdom of light. There was no good that you could do. There was no good deed that you could do. Read 1 Corinthians. It tells you there was nothing you could do. You were just floating around in this world doing some stuff. Whenever you hit the wall, you know what I mean? You hit the wall. And whenever something picked you up, the wind picked you up, it picked you up. But you had nothing to do with finding the mercy. Yahweh extended his mercy to you through Yeshua. And so the Bible would say, Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And all this is good. I have mercy, but I am, to my own estimation, not to mine, but I'm talking about yours, you're still here. Am I right? You're still here. And I don't care what the preacher say, he hasn't explained to me why I'm still here. If Yahweh has another alternative, look like I would have known I'm in the other alternative. You do, but you have to understand what it is before you can operate in it. Now you know you have received mercy. You have been born again into the new reality. And that reality is Yeshua. Amen. You're not of the world. But you know something? You're not located in the same place either. You think you are, but you're not. Colossians 1. You're going to be out of here so fast. You know, sense in getting all upset about how long I'm going to be here. I'm going to let you out of here so fast, it's going to make your head swim, as the old folk used to say. 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. Ha kunu, Greek, who has qualified us. Giving thanks unto the Father, let's say it that way, who has qualified us. See, before you exercised your faith in Yeshua, you were not qualified to be in the kingdom. Yahweh had to what? Qualify you. Giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. You couldn't do nothing for mercy, but God qualified you. Hallelujah. That you could become a partaker of the inheritance. You know what inheritance is? It is something you get later. You remember the rich young man who, prodigal son, he went to the father and said, give me my inheritance. But the father wasn't dead. But he wanted his inheritance like it was his. Well, he went out there and threw it all away. See, a lot of time you think the world has something to offer you. This prodigal son, this boy thought the world out there away from his father. This is what this is all about. This is what this story is all about. He thought out there in the world there was something that would be good for him. And so he went and got all of his father's so good. You know, sometimes y'all will give you something that you ain't deserving, but he let you go on and stump your own toe. Well, you think there's something out there, back out there. So he says, okay, go ahead on, son. Here's the inheritance. The boy went out there, and you know, when you got a little something, you got a lot of friends. Man, you got a lot of friends. He had all these friends, and they was out there drinking, and they were having a good time. Do y'all remember that time? Having a good time. Throwing away your money. Amen. But his money ran out. And guess what happened to the friend? Man, you ain't got no friends in the world. You might think you got some friends. Come on. You think you got some friends. But wait until you go against them. Or wait until you make them mad. You'll see what kind of friends you got. And if you got money, you're going to have a lot of friends until the money is gone. Amen. And so the money ran out. And his friends ran out too. And then he went to one of his friends and he said, I just need some help. I need a place to stay. I just got to have, I need some help. And the friend said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you feed my pigs, but I ain't going to feed you. You have to eat the same thing that the pigs eat. Now, maybe you ain't met none of those cold-blooded people out there in the world, but that's some cold-blooded people out there, man. See, I had a good friend one time, and he said to me, he said, Will, we were all in the military. He said, Will, I don't have no money. You know, they take it out of my dad. I got a little kid. They've been taking it out. I ain't got no money. You know what I said? I said, don't worry about anything. You're my friend. Whatever I got, you got. And, of course, he took advantage of that. We come to town, to Los Angeles. I divide up my money, give him half of it. Well, I knew how to be a friend, but there's no real friend out there. They don't pay. So one day, he drove up in a big old beautiful car. And I said, what? Found out he had been saving his money and using my money. And he drove in a big old beautiful car. And the first night, him and I go out, I'm sitting in the back seat, and he got mad at me. And he said, get out of my car. This is a friend. So I said, you come back in here and get me out. Because I believe this car belonged to me too. I believe I helped pay for it. But then the prodigal boy realized that the best deal he had was at his father's house. The best life he ever had was in his father's house. And he said, I will return unto my father. And I won't ask for nothing extra now. I'll just say, Father, let me be one of your servants, because a servant in your house, it's better than the world treats you. But the father saw him coming and grabbed the robe and grabbed the ring. See, our father. See, some of you might have thought something better out there and you left the church. But I want to tell you, you know it ain't no better. Now it's time to come on back to your father. He got a robe and a ring for you. Hallelujah. Who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now notice, not in darkness. But in what? In light. You only get the inheritance in light. If you're still in the darkness, the inheritance is not there for you. In light. Now watch this. Who has delivered us. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm delivered. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us. Mehistima transferred us from one location to another and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He have relocated us. See that? He has what? Changed our residence and relocated us into the kingdom of his dear son, meaning Yeshua, in whom we have redemption, talking about Yeshua, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There is no hope in the world. But when you really think about it, there would be no need for Yeshua to come and die if there was some hope in the world. But because Yahweh knew there was no hope in the world, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There is one admonition that he gives us as the children of Yahweh in Yeshua. And when I say admonition, I mean warning. There's one warning that he leaves with those who has been delivered. I want you to say to your neighbor again and say it in convincing tone. You don't have to say it loud, but say it in convincing tone. Neighbor, I've been delivered. Huh? I've been delivered. Hallelujah, I've been delivered. I don't have to say it loud, but you know, sometimes we think you have to say something real loud to make become. Sometimes it's better not to say it loud. It's better to say it in a convincing way. Neighbor, I've been delivered. And no matter what Satan do, he can't take that away from me. I've been delivered. But there is a warning though. See, in everything that you have to protect. Protect it. Right? Everything you have to protect it. You got a bank account? You got a PIN number? You better protect it. Because somebody get that PIN number, they got your money. You know, you don't want to be callous and go to the ATM. You see a guy standing right behind you. He looks like a crook. Now you might say, what do a crook look like? I don't know exactly, but I know one when I see one. I can't describe him to you, but I know him when I see him. He's standing behind you and you just go click, 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 click. He's looking at your numbers. You got to protect what you have. And so the bank will tell you when you get the PIN number, if you go to the bank, they said, I'll be careful that no one gets this PIN number. But you wrote your PIN number on a piece of paper along with your card, and you accidentally dropped your billfold. Would have been okay if you didn't have the PIN number in. I'm not talking about no, I'm talking about myself too. I had two bags. I carried my whole life in those bags. my tax return, everything in those bags. And one day I went to the bank, me and my grandson Landon, and I left the car. When I came back to the car, my two bags was gone. I was writing a book about my life. I lost all that. I was writing some Sunday school material. I lost all of that. I lost my tax returns. I lost everything because I wasn't careful. I know they didn't break into the car because they didn't break any windows. It was something that I got careless on when I left my car. So there's an admonition about your salvation. Don't get careless. Don't get careless. First Johannan, second chapter. And this is the last one I'm going to. And here's the admonition. 15th verse. Love not the world. Love not the world. You got your salvation. You have been relocated. You have been born again into a new reality. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Love, not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man, somebody say woman. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in them or him. You can't serve two masters. Love not the world. See, you might love that Jack Daniel's Jumbo Juice. You've been there, done that. See what I'm trying to say? Don't love that. Now, I just said that to kind of clean it up. McDaniel's Jumbo Juice. But that's no McDaniel's Jumbo Juice. That's just McDaniel. Jack Daniel. I said McDaniel. So, yeah, how long I've been out of the world, man. I don't even remember the name. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is the admonition. This is the warning. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. God has given his only begotten Son. He has created a new reality for you. He has birthed you into a new situation, a new kingdom. He has transferred your residence from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He has made you a royal priest. But he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man or woman love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, first of all. That's the first one. See, our worst enemy is us. You know who your worst enemy is? It's you. It's you. Lust of the flesh. This, I can't help myself. Huh? You say, but you just got to get involved into fleshly activities with the opposite sex. So it don't matter whether you're a man or woman. Well, I can't just say in this day opposite sex. Because it's not necessarily the opposite sex totally anymore. You and, James and Jim might get involved. No, don't get mad at me. I didn't create this. And James and Jim ain't got no business looking at each other. They just don't have any business looking at each other. They don't have the paraphernalia that could do anything for each other, really, in a normal way. amen, get mad. I know there's somebody maybe in television or there's somebody here who gets mad at me. Yeah, he can't say that. I can say anything I want to say. I'm not going to tell you to sue me because you might. You can't love the world. And those are the things of the world. See, but I'm not going to fight the world. If James and Jim want to get married, they're in the world, that's their business. I'm not going to go out there and picket James and Jim. I ain't got nothing to do with the world. I'm not in the world. Huh? I'm not in that kingdom. What right do I have to go over to that kingdom and tell them what to do? I don't want them over in my kingdom telling me what to do in my kingdom. So I'm not going to go to their kingdom and tell them what to do. That's the world. Look, that's going to hell. That's going to be burned up. So when the Bible say these elements shall catch on fire, if you haven't figured this out yet, it's not God causing this element to catch on fire. It's these people who won't believe in global warming and continually filling our air with these pollutions. And one day it's going to come to a point where it will ignite. Because it's so dense and everything will catch on fire. But be not discouraged, my brothers and sisters. We won't be here. We won't be here for the occasion. We will be gone. Hallelujah. And there won't be no marriage in heaven. There won't be no same-sex marriage in heaven. There won't be no marriage at all. See, they try to catch Yeshua. Do I have time? Oh, well, I'll take time. Am I the apostle or not? Then I'll take time. All right. See, they came to Yeshua and they said, there was a woman. And she married one brother. And he died. And then she married the second brother, and he died. Then she married the third brother, and he died. I think we got a serial killer here. Amen. Amen. And then they said to him, whose wife is she in heaven? You see how people think? They think natural stuff. They think this natural world of stuff gonna go into heaven. Ain't no dogs going to heaven, folks. Flash. News flash. Spot's not gonna go to heaven. There's no place in heaven for Spot. But we want to make this. This is what the world try to do. They try to make heaven like the world. And so Yeshua said, you know, you're making an awful mistake. For in heaven, there is no marriage or giving in marriage. Right? So we are like the angels. Thank God. I don't want to have to deal with that in heaven. Lord, no. I don't want to get up there and try to pick out somebody. No, Lord. There's too much trouble. So they said, whose wife is he? And he said, you made a mistake. Said, in heaven, there is no marriage or giving in marriage. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Y'all understand all this, don't you? Satan showed Yeshua the kingdom of the whole world and said, I'll give it all to you. See, that's the lust of the eye. They want some stuff they see. Lust of the flesh, they want some stuff to satisfy their flesh. diamonds and jewels don't satisfy your flesh. It satisfies your eye. There's only one thing satisfies your flesh. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, this glorying in yourself, think you somebody. You know, this glorying in I am handsome. I got money. You know what I mean? I got fame. I got power. That's the pride of life. That's for the world. So it's warning us. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. I told you there's no hope for the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of Yahweh abideth forever. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to his church. There is no government that's of God. The only government that will be of God is the government where Yeshua sits on the throne. That's of God. But otherwise, there is none. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith Yahweh, and touch not the unclean. Bow your head. There may be someone here today. You're not saved. You've been contemplating about your life and about what you should do. Hopefully today you heard that. The only hope you have is in Yeshua. And if you're here today, you heard the message. You heard the good news of salvation. And you desire to be saved. I want you to simply raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you'll be saying, Apostle, I desire to have a new life. I desire to be saved and relocated from this that I'm in. That's one in the back. Apostle, I desire a new alternative. That's two. Apostle, I desire a new way. Raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out. If you're here today, you heard the message. You know there is no hope for the world. But there's hope for you to come out of the world. Anyone else? Keep your head bowed. I'm going to ask those who raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come down to me. I want to pray for you personally. If you raise your hand, you just come down to me. Amen. Praise Yahweh. Amen. Praise Yahweh. What is your name, sister? And I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray that Yahweh would give them a new beginning, a new life. I'm going to pray that all of the things that has haunted them in the world, every habit, will be broken, and that they will be free in the name of Yeshua. Give me your hand. Father Yahweh, we have here, Lord, they have made a decision. They have heard your word that said that there is no hope in the world, but there's hope in Yeshua. They have come. Break all the bands that Satan has placed upon them. Break it from their hands and their feet. Break it from their minds in the name of Yeshua. Loose them from every habit. Bring them to the new reality of the new birth in Yeshua. And we thank you for that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Now do you have your questions? I want you to talk with those gentlemen over there, ladies. Y'all will go over and they want to talk to you just a few minutes. Do you have your pocketbook? Get your pocket. You can go right ahead and call over to those gentlemen over there. Everybody keep your head bowed. Now everyone look this way. How many of you still love Yeshua? Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, even for the believer, can be a day of a new beginning, of making new commitments, to live